Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good morning. Welcome to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show on this Thursday morning. It's rainy in places. Looked like it didn't rain much here in Houston. I ran through a lot of rain coming in, but looked a little drier in this part of the city. But I'm Captain Mickey Eastman, producing the Outdoor Show this morning.
Good morning, Houston. I'm Austin Mendez.
How are you, man?
Man, doing pretty good. And about that rain, I got a good amount of rain over my way in Katy.
Did you?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, when I walked out the house, it was pretty bad outside.
Yeah, before I went to bed, that thing was moving like 30 miles per hour towards us. And after I got in bed and dozed off, I could hear a little thunder going on and made going to sleep pretty easy. But, that started pretty early. And when I got up, it was still doing it. I said, well, it must have slowed down and stalled out a little bit over. So.
Oh, yeah. Over by me, it was lighting up the sky.
Yeah.
And the Astros were lighting up the scoreboard.
That's it.
The scoreboard.
Lighting that board up, man. That's amazing how they can, they just kind of go off their rocker a little bit and slump out and then just come back
right
strong.
Back in it. Now we're on
They're
a two-game
so good,
winning streak.
It's not even funny, man.
It really is. And we're going to keep adding to those games. So, doing good.
All right. Well, cool. Well, welcome to the show, folks. Our sponsors today on this 25th day of April. Boy, we're almost out of the month. May is right around the corner. Texan Roofing, CCA Star Tournament, Mainstream Marketing, Skeeter's Auto Service, Boyd's One Stop, Castaway Rods, and McLean Trailers. Looking at Galveston right now, 72 down on the island. Looks like this morning they're going to throw in 40% chance of mostly morning thunderstorms, high of 76 today. Winds will be northwest 10 to 20 as this thing pushes on offshore. And then tonight, clear, low of 68. Winds will be northwest 5 to 10. And tomorrow, sunny, high of 77. North winds 10 to 15. So it'll be quite beautiful today and tomorrow once we get all this weather behind us. But it really looks good. This is getting pretty nice. We can get these old winds to lay down, and I'll take it. Looks good to me. Anyway, all right, looking at tides for today. We are on these are Galveston Channel tide predictions, and we're still on two tides a day right now. So, and anyway, got a low that occurred just after midnight at 2:59 a.m. It was an 0.1. Our only tide of the day today will be a high at 12:17 p.m., and it's a 1.6, so a pretty good incoming tide. Be strong anyway. Sunrise today, 6:43 a.m. Sunset tonight, 7:52 p.m. Our moon phase is 70%. And looking at current conditions, offshore 22 nautical miles east of Galveston, the buoy out there showing 71-degree water temperature, 71 on the air, south winds at 13 to 16, barometric pressure. It's a little bit low this morning, 29.77 inches. And in Eagle Point, we have 73-degree water, 73 on the air. That's pretty cool. All these water temps and air temps are the same. Southwest at 15 to 20. And in Morgan's Point, same water and air temperature, 73 and 72. West-southwest at 10 to 14. Barometric pressure at those two readings, 29.75 inches. So there you have it. That's pretty much the weather and the tides, and ride this good wave of weather out as it comes back to us. All right. Let's go over to Sabine Lake now. Let's talk to Captain Bill Watkins. Bill, good morning. How are you, sir?
Doing all right. Doing all right, buddy. Just sitting here looking out the window watching the lightning flash.
Yeah. Okay. Everything's kind of coming your way.
Yep. I reckon it'll be here pretty quick. Looks like a pretty good light show so far.
Yeah, at least it broke up a lot. Boy, that weather was really bad yesterday all throughout Texas. A lot of flooding up north and just, you know.
We sure didn't need that.
No.
Had enough rain.
Had enough.
I'm just kind of almost drying out around here. But I don't know what lap after this one passes through, but we shall see. I did get to fish this week, and there are fish out there. Got some trout. Got I didn't catch any reds this time. One redfish.
That's amazing how they just disappear, isn't it?
Yeah, they go way up in the marsh somewhere.
Yeah,
they're the trickiest fish to catch when they disappear.
when you want them, yeah.
Yeah. Oh yeah, and then you know normally, long about this time of the year, you'll have some redfish up and down the banks, but they're not there yet. I think they'll probably show up pretty soon. And it's a mystery to me. I know a lot of them go into the marsh just because I followed them in there, but it amazes me how that I think some of them go out in the lake too.
Yeah.
And hang around. It's hard to find them. There's nothing going on out there that you can follow. I mean, you can fish reefs and stuff like that, but it's been so rough, it's hard to do that. It's hard to get out in the open water right now. But they'll show up back again, and they'll mix in with the trout, and I'll have other options. But we're catching a few flounder down the banks, too.
Hearing a lot of flounder. Boy, West Bay's full of them over here. They're starting to really roll in. They were small at first, but now the males have moved on and the females are starting to come in behind them.
That's what we're seeing here. Starting to see the females coming back in.
Yeah, that's always good. Gotta have the ladies back, man.
Yeah. Well, I'm hoping we'll have good numbers of them. I like catching them as we're going down the shorelines fishing, and you know, it's nice to stick a big old flat thing every once in a while. And I mean, some days in April and May, I've caught, God, I've had some 20 flounder days.
Yeah.
You know, over here at Sabine, when they're right where they're supposed to be, they're pretty easy to catch. You can actually target them. But so far this year, I haven't seen that kind of numbers.
Yeah, back in the day when we had a lot of flounder, that's what we'd do. The trout would quit biting, and we'd go wade areas we knew that held flounders. You know,
right.
And we'd target them. There was numbers to target where you could wade and catch your 10 apiece pretty easily, you know, with tails.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Or, you know, bounce it off the bottom, dragging those tails over the top of those flounder, make them come get it.
They will come get it, too.
Yeah, they will. You drag one over, they're laid up in the mud there, and you drag one over the top of them. They don't like that. They come after
them. No. They're a master predator of the bay. The things are, I mean, they can lay in ambush. They
you
can
would
bury
be too if you
mud.
Had two eyeballs on one side of your head like that.
Yeah, but they can actually feed on top. They can chase bait down. They can just do anything they need to do.
That's what they were doing a couple of weeks ago. Was jumping out of the water, eating little bitty bug fish and glass minnows.
That is the funniest thing to watch.
Yeah, they don't. They're not too acrobatic.
And when they're doing that, sometimes it's hard to get them to hit.
Oh yeah, that's the hardest time. Kind of like when all these shad ball up real thick in open water, and you got like a quarter acre of shad sitting out there, and you see trout and reds jumping out of the water eating them. You can fish them as hard as you can. You'll catch one an hour. You know, just you want to beat your head up against the side of the console, going, "What can I throw at them that they'll eat?"
That's it.
And you, every time you get ready to leave, somebody will stick one and go, well, maybe we're fixing to get them going. And, it's a teaser, man.
That sure is. And I did get a bonus fish. I hooked a channel cat.
Uh-oh.
Oh, yeah, in Sabine Lake.
Mm-hmm. We catch them in Trinity Bay all the time, you know, like on, especially like on Corkies or, you know, something we slow down like that.
Yeah.
But we catch blues. I never caught a channel cat in Trinity Bay. I've caught plenty of blues, but no channels.
Well, that's what we usually will catch over here.
Yeah.
You're back up in the bios and stuff, you'll stick a blue cat. But this guy was a stubby, fat channel cat.
Out there gorging on all that bait in the bay, man.
Oh, he was right there with a wad of trout. Mm. We were fishing this deep hole in the bayou, and drifting it down to them, and right down on the bottom is where those trout were. And some pretty good ones down there, you know, 2 and 3 pounders. And that was right in there amongst it.
Crazy.
I hooked that thing, and I went, oh, I think I've got a small red. Doggone channel cat. he went right in the box with everybody else. We took him fried, yeah.
He'll fillet out real nice and be real good and tasty.
Yeah, I filleted him out. That old boy took him home. He said, I'll take him. Heck yeah. But we only caught one flounder, but we had three more on that just managed to get off. They were planing toward us. We couldn't catch them good enough to get the hook in. But you can always tell us what it is. But the trout bite, as soon as that dropping tide stopped and it turned around and started in, the bite was over. Man, you talk about throw a switch. We pounded bank for I don't know how long after that, and one or two.
That's April fishing, baby.
Yeah, and that's, sometimes as long as the current's running, I can find a place to catch fish. It don't matter which way it's going. I'll go somewhere where they'll be. But here lately, I guess it's fresh water content. The falling tide's the best tide fish. And then when it turns around and starts coming in pretty good, it's over. You're just going to catch scratch fish after that. School bus pattern, drive a mile and pick up one or two.
Mm-hmm.
And you cover enough water, you can still catch a few, but it's hard. And they'll be concentrated when tide's falling. Well, the water's clear in the marsh anyway.
Right.
But I noticed every day I go now, I'm seeing clearer and clearer water. It's beginning to clear out into the lake a good ways now. So even on the high tide, you still got some clear water. At first, it was not like that. We had a lot of milky water way out there in the middle. And the marsh was clear, but everything out there was dirty. But now it's beginning to change.
Yeah.
And as soon as this bad weather, these pulses keep coming through right now. All it settles down, we're going to see some fish out of the Gulf coming through. I've already found some silver pretty ones with the mussels.
Tide runners. All right, Bill, runners. Let me do a break. I'll come right back to you after this commercial break. Hang with me, my friend. Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. Let's go back to Bill Watkins over at Sabine Lake. All right, Bill, we're back.
All right, man. Well, as soon as this one's over, I guess we'll be fishing again.
Yeah.
And hopefully they'll quit coming so much.
Yeah, what I'm worried about is all that rain Dallas got and all that area up above us, all up through East Texas along that Trinity River watershed.
Yeah, that has been, it seems like the Trinity has caught as much or more than anybody in the last couple of years. I know the Sabine is still running pretty high, and I don't know where that water came from. I guess the last couple of rains way upstate.
Yeah, our stuff came up. I think Livingston's a little over a foot above pool. It's 132.28, so it's about a foot and a quarter above pool. They opened it up this week to 27.3, and I'm keeping a sharp eye on it to see how much water is going to come down from Dallas through Richland Chambers and on down. So here we go. You know, I made a joke about 2 years ago. I hope I live long enough to wade fish Jack's pocket again. That may not be a joke.
But
I may not live long enough to get to wade back there again for trout.
I know, man.
It's crazy. This is 5 years running, man.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I would like to be able to catch trout up the Sabine River like I used to, close to Orange.
I know how I can fix that. I could sell out and move to Galveston. Move down, move yeah. down there where the salt water and the fish are, and live
you know,
down
that's
there.
True.
Then, then we'd have a drought, and then I'd have to go to Trinity every day to fish. So
that'd be like rolling dice, wouldn't
that's
it?
That's it.
You know,
life bad, man.
You know, there's a dry spell coming. You just don't know when. And when it does, it'll probably hang on for 2, 3, 4 years.
And no guarantees, so, man. Just like that. No. Pension plan, that retirement plan guys have.
Uh-huh.
Good luck with that.
Good luck with that. I guess, you know, really, it's as hard for you to get to Galveston Bay as it is for me to get up to,
man,
to almost the same distance.
Man, it's solid construction from out my way on Spur 99 to 146 all the way. I mean, it's fixing to really turn into a traffic nightmare. Well, it always has been, but now with construction and, you know, enlarging those. Oh, yeah, it's going to be, it's just horrible. There's just so many people in this area now. And
that's a hot spot.
It's not a fun place to pull a boat through, I can tell you that.
Oh, no, Lord. Last time I did that, it's a couple of years ago, and it was bad then. I can imagine what it's like now.
I'm better off going the back way, just looping around and take 124 to the Bolivar Highway and then head back to the west.
I mean, when I went over to the boardwalk the other day, the last 2 miles took me 15 minutes. I'm like, boy, this is ridiculous. I just made a real quick run over here, and now I'm stuck in traffic.
Yeah, I tried it rush hour in the mornings and the evenings.
Oh, no, I've been there and done that. Oh, that's terrible. And if they just had some way to fix that, but it's not easy to fix. They ain't going to be able to do a quick fix to anything there.
No, it takes time.
No, there'll be some more bridge work involved there.
Oh, yeah.
Man, I don't know how they're going to work that out. That's people smarter than me. It's above my pay grade. I really like it on the Bolivar side, but... You know,
so do a lot of other people.
Yeah.
That gets really overcrowded real quick and easy.
Yeah. And trying to come across that ferry is not the easiest thing to do either.
No, that's not too good either.
But you know, and then if you launch at Stingray, that ramp on high tide right now is like, you got to swim to get your boat in the water.
Man.
Yeah. Yeah, it gets up right, you know, right up into the parking lot a little bit.
Does it?
Yeah. You can get the boat in and okay, but it's not a problem there. But it's got a long slope, and water gets pretty high.
Right.
And, yeah, you just about got to launch with hip boots if you do it by yourself. Or knee boots anyway. That's a pretty interesting situation. But that's okay. I always like launching there, and from there you can run down to Seavers and out in the bay anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
They're catching some good fish over there, I hear right now.
Yeah, it's not bad. So they're starting to get better. They were small for a while, but the fish that are being caught on the south end are a lot better.
Yeah, and, that's what I'm hearing too. It's some good fish, and I always enjoyed fishing that area, and I may wind up going back over there some. Just for old time's sake. But it seems like the fish I'm catching over here now are getting more solid. I'm catching quite a few Texas keepers, and a 3-pound trout is not hard to find.
Mm-hmm.
A 4-pounder is. Anything bigger than that, I'm not seeing too much of. I mean, somebody's probably catching one every once in a while. I'm just not hearing about it, but... everybody I'm in contact with is pretty well catching the same size fish, but I'm not catching too many 13s. They're not many of those out there right now. They're more like 14 and a half to 20. Now I can live with that. That's, you know,
yeah.
And these are all lake fish. These are not, there's no tide runners back up where I'm
no,
fishing.
No, it's early yet.
But, I'm sure they're going to be, they're on the jetty right now if I could get to them. There's no doubt. They're there.
All right.
And it's just been too rough for me to get out there to touch them. But as soon as that weather calms down, the wind slows down, that's they'll be there.
June 15th.
June 15th.
Said that a million times.
I thought it was June 10th.
Well, it might be. Well, it'd be nice if it'd be May 15th.
It sure would.
You know, get a combay like we used to have back in the day and get in on that spawn out on those deeper shell reefs.
Oh, my goodness, yes.
Especially in East Bay, man. When it was calm, we used to get out there in the middle of May and just really lace out some big trout, working slicks and piles of mullet and tied rips. And, it was good stuff, man.
We've actually got some trout down in the south end of the lake right now. But the weather has been so rough.
Oh, yeah.
You can't hardly get to them.
It's just, you just got to pick your days. You got to fight it, man.
Yeah, but if they're there, we just need, a calm spell of weather to let everything settle down, and we'll catch those fish.
All right, so, Bill. Well, if somebody wants to come over and fish with you, what's the best way to call you?
409-786-2018.
Or fishsabinelake.com.
Absolutely, man.
All right, man. I'm going to go up to Lake Conroe and talk to Richard now. You have a good day, Bill. Thanks for the report.
You too.
See you. All right, take care, man. All right, let's go up to Lake Conroe now and talk to the fish dude. Hey, Richard, what's up?
Not a lot, Mickey, not a lot. Just kind of running a little bit behind. Ain't quite at the lake yet this morning.
So. That's all right. Hey, it's, the fish will be there when you get there. They're not going anywhere.
I know, but I got a lot of work to do before I get started. That's the thing, go catch the bait, then you clean the boat. Then you double check all your tackle, make sure it's ready to roll. When you get all that ready to roll, then you get everybody there and you load them up and take off and go start jerking them jaws out of the water.
That's it.
I guarantee you, well, them catfish on them bulkheads, it's funny this year, everything's kind of changing. The catfish thinned out, and now you're catching. There's a lot of white bass and a bunch of hybrids running right up against the bulkheads in the mornings. So that's on the north end. I'm going to start moving south on them rascals because they, I think that's what's happening. The north end fish are kind of, the shad are just about done spawning, and everything's moving south like the natural progression of the lake during bass spawn and everything else. Starts north, ends south. So it's, warmer water in the north right now, and it's still cool on the south end.
Yeah.
So Tex should start hammering them here pretty quick.
Yeah, I'll be talking to him in the morning. I'll get a good update on the catfish down on that end, bud.
Yeah, that's the thing. And what's funny is normally on most years I'm all over the lake. I'm everywhere. But this year everything seems to really be focused on that. The north end starting first, then the mid lake kind of catching on a little bit, then the south end kicking in a little bit later. I mean, it's a solid, like it always used to be this year because of I guess the way the weather is, all this dang cool weather and stuff, keeping these fish kind of hemmed up and doing the right things, keeping the deep water cold, keeping the shallow water warm. Just enough sunlight, just enough heat to keep those shallow fish moving. And those shad, I mean, it's amazing some of the shad I'm seeing this year. Little bitty things. I mean, I've not seen some of these microscopic shad that I'm seeing like this year. In the past, normally you run along there and some of these shad you're seeing, or the majority of the shad you're seeing along there are inch and a half to 2 inches long. Nothing real big, nothing real small. Just kind of the mid-range on shad and everything. And then after that, right around, and you get a year like this where everything looks like they're, good night. They're not even an inch long, some of them. Some of them are like a 3/4 inch long shad. Now, that's a little bitty shad. So, and I've been trying to catch those little rascals in the net. Like I was telling you last week, I went to that finer mesh net trying to catch some of those little bit smaller ones. It seems to work, but I don't really think it matters.
Right.
I really don't. If you get that bait in front of them, you get a piece of shad up there when they're on them walls, they're going to hit it no matter if it's big, little, or what. Cut, whatever, it doesn't matter. So, I know people fish up there with that bait shrimp. They'll throw the bait shrimp right up against them walls and catch the heck out of them. So,
yeah, they will.
I mean, that's That's the fun part about those bulkhead fish. And then the crappie, good night. Them crappie are huge this year.
Yeah, I've been seeing your guys holding up some really nice slabs, man. 16-inch looking ones, you know, 17.
They are. A lot of them are 16. Some of them are even up to almost 17 inches. You know, those white crappie get really long like that, but they're so lean. You know, and then like, what was it, 2 weeks ago when that fell away, didn't it? That 277 as a new record crappie on the lake, I'll fully expect that to be broken really quick. And I might even be the one to do it. Because I'm telling you, Mickey, I am catching some giant crappie this year. And there's still the mixed small ones. So that's
right.
I mean, the lake seems to be healthy as it has ever been with crappie. You know, since I've been fishing it anyway. Because it's you've got so much of the various sizes, the large ones, the small ones, you know, and everything's right. So I'm wound up wanting to go get them this morning.
Okay, well, hang on. Let me do a quick commercial break, and I'll come back to you, man. Hang with me.
Coming off two pretty good days of fishing.
Yeah, well, that's good.
Life is good.
That guy could be in a swimming pool pulling 9-pounders and never catch one.
Well, if you want to hunt and fish in Texas, you better listen to the Outdoor Show.
All right, we got more technology in our boats right now than a 747, and the fish just don't have a chance like they did. The harvesting of fish with all the technology and the number of fishermen that we've got right now is just driving that thing off the chart.
Fish are friends, not food.
Except stinking dolphins.
Dolphins? Yeah, I think they're so cute. Oh, look at me, I'm a flipping little dolphin. Let me flip for you, I know something.
Now, do you all have your friends?
Got mine.
And waking up at 4 a.m. before the roosters start to crow. If you wanna hunt and fish in Texas, you better listen to the Outdoor Show.
Now, time for more of the Outdoor Show on Sports Radio 610.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. 437 in the Bayou City. All right, let's go back to Richard up on Lake Conroe. All right, Richard.
All right. Yeah, I tell you what, I'm ready to get out there and get them rascals today, because like I say, it's gonna be fun. These dang crappie are getting huge.
Yeah.
And I seriously look for a 3-pounder to come in this year, and if it continues like it is, we're liable to have some 4-pound fish in here for long. I mean, that's just the way these rascals are getting. They're thick. Mm-hmm. Then like those white crappie, what's funny about them is they look huge. When you pull them out of the water, they've got a big mouth.
Oh,
their body is real long, and they're thin as a rail. That's the biggest problem. But that record white crappie was 277 the other day, and it beat a 270 that was, I don't even know what year it was set, but it was set a while back. And I had one that was right at 2 pounds in the boat, you know, that was – it just thin, and those white crappie will get a big belly on them. That's how they get the weight, is when you start seeing a big pot belly on them big white crappie, that's where they pick up the weight, and that's where you get your record fish. Now, I can't believe we hadn't got one of those big black crappie that's come in at over 3 pounds, because they're getting so big and thick right now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they look like a steak out there just swimming around. They're almost 2 inches thick. So, and you can lay them down on them tables, you know, whenever you go to cut them up. And when you cut a fillet off there, you're coming up with a good inch.
A slab of meat, man. You bet.
I'm telling you that. I mean, them suckers are, and a lot of them, too. I mean, normally, you know, I'd go out and say, okay, you know, normally we'll catch maybe 10 or 12 2-pounders a year, a season, you know, typically April, May, June. And then you'll get, start dropping into those little ones, that's it, that's all you get. Now it's like you'll catch, you're liable to catch 3 to 4 2-pounders a trip, and it's like, you got to be kidding me. I mean, it was like a month ago or 2 or 3 weeks ago, it was like, I'd catch one every trip, and then it got to where I was catching one or two. Yesterday, good night, we had 6 of them right at 2 pounds.
Yeah.
And everything else was 1.75 and up. And we had, you know, we had some of those. You'd pull him up out of the water and go, dang, that ain't even a keeper. You put him on the board and he's 12 inches, you know, because you're used to seeing those big ones.
Right.
And I'm going, good night. And it's, you know, I was just ready. And then the bass, too. Them good old bass are fixing to hit their post bomb.
They're fixing to hit what?
Post bomb.
Oh, I couldn't. You kind of broke up when you said I didn't hear post spawn the first time.
Yeah, yeah, they're fixing to hit. They're fixing to hit post spawn right now, and they're moving out away from the shorelines. You can't hardly see them up on the banks anymore. The fry's almost all gone. Those little male bass that were up there, they're kind of moving out, and they're not protecting the fry any longer. And now on the south end, I'm sure there's still quite a bit of them up there. You can still see them up there on the south end.
Yeah.
But as far as the north of 1097, you can pretty much hang up those fish that are on the banks. Now there may be a few stragglers, but I don't think there's any giants. But you know, like I say, but Tuesday night I went out there and caught a dang 7-pounder, so I can't say nothing about that.
Nothing wrong with that. Heck no.
No, sir. I mean, it took me long enough. I've been fishing them Tuesday night tournaments. Last week I didn't fish them, but everyone since they started running the Tuesday nights, with the exception of last week, I've fished and I've caught little fish. I've caught, you know, keepers, but I ain't started catching big ones till this last Tuesday. This last Tuesday, I think it's 7:27 or something like that. And so the big ones are starting to move back to where I can catch them. And I'm ready to get after them, you know. It's a dying coyote running across the road right here in front of me. Good night. But
wasn't a road runner ahead of him, was it?
No, I'm sitting on the side of the road, you know, and I've seen this. It looked like a dog running at me, and I said, well, what the heck? He's about 100 yards ahead of me. And then he kind of, you know, them coyotes, when they're all perky and alert, their front is way up and their ears are perked up and their hindquarters kind of drop and they hop. That's what he was doing. He's coming right at me into my headlight, and then he run across the road about 20 yards in front of me. I was saying, dang, at first, like I say, I thought it was a dog, but he went through the fence like it was nothing. And then whenever he did that, he jumped across that road and you could tell it was a coyote then. And he's right up here in these buildings up here, too. I'm at the corner of 45 and Shepherd Hill Road. You got a bar on one side, a house and a yard that he came out of, and then a machine shop that he ran into their lot. It's crazy.
He's over here looking for garbage, probably.
I know, apparently so, but he came out of some big fields, too. So, you know, the thing is, I mowed some of these fields over here. If you ever mow any of these fields, I imagine it's any field. You start mowing them fields, you end up with a lot of field mice.
A lot of what? Field what? Mice?
Field mice.
Yeah.
Yeah, field mice are everywhere, and them dang coyotes love them field mice. Yeah, I'm getting kind of choked up. I ain't got nothing to drink this morning. But them dang field mice get out in all them fields, and them coyotes love them rascals. That and rabbits, that's what they love. And that's why, if you ever watch them out there in those fields, if you ever see a fox or a coyote out in the field hunting for mice, it's funny to watch them, how they get their old head going sideways, looking and listening, and then they'll pounce on them. They'll find them buried up into stuff. It's amazing how well they can smell, hear, and see, and then just pinpoint exactly where a small mouse would be. Or even a gopher. I mean, they'll get after a dang dog gopher in the middle of a field too. I mean, it's funny to watch them dang foxes and the coyotes and everything. I got a video of when I was out at my dad's here, year before last, I guess. We put a new ground blind in, and we got that new ground blind up. I said, well, I'm gonna go sit in it just to see what's in there. And a little old fox come out, and it's sitting on a pond dam, and he walked all the way around this pond dam about 10 yards from me all the way out to about 40 yards before I lost him. And that's what he was doing. He was hunting those mice in there. And I got a video of him as he's doing it, and he's kind of pouncing on them as they're moving through. It's neat to watch them rascals do that.
Everything's got to eat, man.
I know it. I just love watching these animals in the outdoors and stuff. Like all these bald eagles up here on the lake right now, I mean, it's amazing all these bald eagles we've got.
Yeah, it is. They really made a strong comeback down here in the South again, and that's good to see. Well, Richard, I might have to go to Matagorda, man. I got old Charlie P hanging, so if somebody wants to come up to Conroe, fish for multiple species, how do they get a hold of you?
Well, Mickey, anyone can get in touch with me at 936-661-7920. You can find me on Facebook. Just check out the Fish Dudes Guide Service. You can email me at admin@fishdudetx.com or just check out the webpage, fishdudetx.com.
All right, Richard. Have a good day. Catch them up, man.
Yeah, next time I'll have something to drink.
All right, see you later.
All right.
All right, let's go to Charlie P. down in Matagorda down Gorda. What's up, Charlie?
Mickey, what's no good?
Oh, not a lot, brother. Not a lot.
Not much new on this end. I hadn't fished this week. I had a couple of trips I had to reschedule.
Yeah.
But I'm waiting for April to disappear in the sunset, you know.
It's not far away.
No. You know, we're on the backside of that full moon. I don't think we're missing much right now. Got to fish Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Hopefully things will be a little better. But I'm really not hearing, you know, much going on right now. How'd you do this week?
I didn't fish. I didn't have any trips, man.
Yeah.
I didn't, no takers.
Right.
I'm fixing to get busy, but right now, just April is not a good booking month for me. May through December, yeah, but April's just a stale month.
Yeah, it is.
I've run a few this month, but I mean, you know, nothing to set the woods on fire.
Well, I don't think we missed much this week. You know, I haven't even seen a lot of stuff posted on Facebook.
I'm seeing a lot of old pictures. People are throwing up old stuff.
Yeah. I'm seeing that too.
That's when you tell when it's time to go fishing. You just keep an eye on Facebook, and then everybody starts burning everything down. Well, we better sharpen them hooks and gas up the boat. Here, I got a run going down there.
Yeah, talking about what reels to buy, what rods to buy, all that kind of stuff. At least we got baseball to bounce back on.
Yeah, we do. I enjoy watching the Astros. Even when they lose, I enjoy watching them because you always have that feeling that, man, all of a sudden they're going to explode.
Yeah. They ain't going to win them all. There's no doubt about that.
No, that's why they play, 143 games or whatever it is?
Yeah. They sure are looking good, though, man. Great team.
They are.
Great bunch of boys.
Miley looked good night before last. He had that little one bad pitch with a 3-run homer in the first inning. After that, what, he retired 16 in a row or something like that?
Yeah, he did look good.
He looked real good. Unhittable. Verlander didn't look too shabby last night either.
No, he didn't. No, and Altuve keeps hitting those home runs too.
Did he hit another one last night?
Not last night, but the night before it.
I think Reddick hit one after I went to bed. I went to bed when it was 5-1.
He did.
They must have pinch hit him because he didn't start last night.
Reddick?
Yeah, I thought Springer and Mareznick were in the outfield with Brantley.
No, I think I don't know, maybe.
I didn't see him till, you know, I heard he hit a homer, so luckily he kept that hitting streak alive.
Yeah, they're worth watching. It's a good deal. But
of course, I may have gone to do something when Reddick came up to bat in the rotation too, but I don't remember seeing him in the outfield last night. I know Mareznick and Springer and Brantley were out there at the beginning of the game, so Brantley hit another one.
Yeah.
That guy was a good acquisition.
Yes, sir, he was.
Marwin who? Everybody's going, oh, my God, Marwin's gone. We let him go. Well, I think it's pretty good swap out there. We got Brantley.
Yeah, somebody knows what
that guy's
doing.
A hitting machine, man. His mechanics are just stellar.
Yeah.
Beautiful swing.
Yeah, well, fishing will get better and things will pick up.
That's what I'm waiting on, stellar fishing.
Yeah, man. I'm telling you. You know, and we're on the backside of that full moon this week, too. So.
And we're on a two-tide schedule.
Yeah.
Two tides a day. Really, we have one during the daytime.
Did we get all this bad weather out of here?
Yeah, pretty much. It's slid on by and heading to the east. So, you know, we dodged all the really bad heavy stuff here on the coast. It just kind of tailed out once it got down and swept through. We didn't get near the destructive-looking heavy rains and winds like they did from Dallas all the way over to East Texas.
Yeah.
You see, I saw one tornado on the ground up by College Station yesterday. Somebody pulled over on the side of the highway and filmed it and put it on Facebook. It was throwing debris. I don't know what extensive damage that came out of it, but and that's good. Save us along the coast. We got to get ready for hurricane season.
Oh, yeah.
That's fixing to be upon us.
Yeah, we need something to look forward to.
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe we'll have a beautiful weekend and
it looks like, you
pick
know,
up a little bit.
Yeah, it looks nice.
What do we got, a two tide schedule all weekend?
Yeah, let's see. I think we'd go back to three tides on Sunday. You'll get that low at early in the morning. Right now our low's in the middle of the night. Then tomorrow morning it's 4:02. Then the low Saturday's 5:16 a.m. I'd put your high tide later in the day though. We got that incoming tide be coming in all morning into the afternoon, all weekend. So you'll have one tide. That's good for up my way. I like those two tide days for up
yeah.
my way if I've got areas to fish. But, you know, four tide days when they're a little bit weaker, you don't get that really extensive push and pull. I like fishing, you know, West Bay or East Bay down closer to the passes and the jetties.
Right. Is all your water clearing up down Trinity Bay?
No, it was, and then we got another little burst of fresh water back there. And, you know, Anahuac and the Jack's Pocket sides, they were starting to get color in them, a little bit of foam when you'd run in it, and actually a few fish. And then here it comes again. It's coffee creamer now. And I don't know what's going to transpire out of all that rain from Dallas. I don't know how much of it's going to come down the Trinity River and get us, but right now we're up to about 27,000 on a cubic feet per second coming out of Livingston. Livingston's high, it's over a foot above pool, and they got a lot of rain in Dallas-Fort Worth area the last 2 days, so to wait and see. I saw videos of cars underwater in a parking garage.
Yeah, our Colorado River's still messed up, too. You know, I really thought that westbound of Gorda Bay would be better than what it has been. It's just, you go one day and catch them, the next day you can't.
April.
Yeah, well, it was different last year, but, you know, last year was a different year.
Yeah.
And this Brazos River here in Sugarland, holy cow, it's up, way up.
Boy, it's an ugly, red, muddy water, isn't it?
I'm telling you.
Clay mud water out of the Brazos.
You. Yep.
All right, Charlie. Well, I wanted to check in, see what was up, bud. You have a nice day. Throw them out a number. Somebody wants to call you about coming down and fishing with you in Matagorda.
713-725-2401.
All right, Charlie. Good talking to you, man. You have a good day.
Take care, Mick.
See you, buddy. All right.
Bye.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.